This is Jan Cox, talk number 19, recorded on April 21st, 1982.
Reality. religion. But now it's accepted by many people and their variations in other societies. But in some way, he forgave everybody. He said, yeah, you're no good. Everybody said, yeah. And he said, well, I forgive you. Just admit you're no good. Just admit it to yourself. Or some of the churches now, you're supposed to get up and walk down to an altar, raise your hand, and they say, all right, who's no good here? Who would like to be a little better than no good? And you go, and so then a man staying there, calling himself a minister, says, well, Jesus forgives you, or God forgives you. All right. There's the preface. Now to the good stuff. See if you can consider this. I'll give you one more stage. I even mentioned the possibility in chatting that the faster I attempted to do this, if I was going to do it with a wider range of people, never go through what I've been through with you people. I was hinting to you, I don't mean I was about to present myself as a son of God, but I was hinting to you the possibility the faster it gets. And I ask you, could any of you hear the possibility? It almost has to be, here is what I have to tell you. We don't have time to go through it. And I'm telling you this is true, and you can't understand it, but quit suffering because everything's all right. All right, I can clean it up a little bit, but if you can hear, all that is replaying Jesus. Is it, yeah, you're asleep, if I want to use that term with the people in Frisco. Yeah, you're asleep, you're in a very low state, a disorganized state psychologically. But I forgive you. When I consider the matter of what forgiveness would be and the way in which people take it now, and go back to the premise I laid, whatever knowledge all of you have, you must have a sufficient enough for me to talk this way, of general Western Protestantism, I guess, the evangelistic movements, that the general teaching is man is sinful, and that God forgives you if you'll admit that you're no good, or that Jesus has forgiven you. They now have it where Jesus is God. They just use the terms interchangeably. But consider what is going on for somebody that goes there, and they come away and they say they feel better. They say that they are a renewed person or a born-again Christian. I am a Christian. And they have not changed. Their behavior may change a little bit. But if we're going to talk about behavior change, then you're back into the old problems of my drunk driver killing his wife. That if the man or woman does go to some apparent religious service such as that, and the minister says, we're all no good. If you're no good, you know it and admit it. And someone who goes through this apparent conversion of some kind becomes a, quote, Christian through that basis. If their behavior does change, that the next day they quit drinking. I'm not going to get hung in a swamp with this, because it's just one of the things that has to do with you beginning to see. It's one of the almost impossible aspects that I've pointed out, and some of you already have some glimpse of that, that it can rightfully be seen. I certainly wouldn't take it with ordinary people and try to present it as a system, but it can rightfully be seen that there are no such things as humans. It's got nothing to do with sinners, not as people claim it is, not as the other nervous systems interpret themselves in human life, because it comes from the needs of the machine itself. But there are no such things as humans, from what you see. And me making descriptions such as everyone walking around and going by the name of human with hairs on their heads and can speak are nothing but nerve endings. They're not people, and it's not negative, it's not cynical. But it's almost impossible to see. You can even get a glimpse of it. And as soon as you turn around with another person, you're back dealing with them on the basis of no analyzation, no control, that there is some kind of reality here. It's a person. That there's some kind of inner process. There is an I. That there is a marine. There is a worth. Much more than the body. Much more than a nervous system. There is somebody in there. There is a something. And I'm telling you, there's not. There's a nervous system. There's electricity going through there. And you can even get a glimpse of that and think, well, I can almost see it. And at the same time, you begin to see it, there is a release of everything. You are the world's greatest Christian, because henceforth, you can treat your fellow man as he should be treated. You've got nothing in store for him. There is nobody to hurt you. There's nobody to insult you. It's simply a relay machine. And you can think and feel as though I have a glimpse of this. How wonderful. And suddenly somebody calls your name. And you turn around and you're back into it. Because that nervous system that you're dealing with is attuned to deal with yours. And you'll fall back into it just constantly. But consider the idea of forgiveness. Now, people apparently, besides, as I was saying, some kind of apparently small behavioral change that a man says he has become a Christian through some great revival meeting last night. And today you see him, he doesn't drink. Without getting caught in it, let me just point out to you, I know it's hard, it's almost impossible to sit there and just mentally keep up all this, even parts you see. But already something was going on. There was no kind of conscious, willful action taking place. The gods have not taken him into their bosom and say, we forgive you, because then you're back to all. When did you make me like this? There was already some transfer of energy that put the man there, and you're just isolating reality in a form that is beyond any matter of understanding. You can't stay there. You can't be satisfied with that, or you're no better than you were when I found you. To say, all right, he went to church last night for the first time. His wife talked him into it. And he gave his heart to God, became a Christian, and today he quit drinking. All of you, intellectually now, at the high end, you've got to know that's not true. That's not saying anything. I can go back the day before, I can go back a week before and say that something already happened. He was just leading up to not drinking. But that's not the end of the story, or you're back playing a TV drama, a movie. He quit drinking. How wonderful. Then, what's on next? It doesn't say that he took up drinking 2 weeks later. But beyond any apparent behavioral change, which has nothing to do with understanding, has nothing to do with anything, please note that throughout the world, this has some kind of effect, that people search for it. They go to a witch doctor. It may not always be called forgiveness. It may not always be called some form of religion as you might identify with a Western mind. But all over the world, this has always been true. And Christianity now is a great example, the kind of Christianity I'm talking about. That there is a great demand for it. There's a great supply for it. Everything is fit right in. And there are people who say, well, look, you and I, and their little eyes sparkle. And they'll say, I feel so much better since I gave my heart to the church or to God. That I was no good. I tried to quit drinking. I tried to treat my children better. I couldn't do anything, but now I feel better. Now, if in some way that nervous system could tell the objective truth and you grabbed it and said, all right, do you treat your children any better? The truth is no. Of course, any better would have to be somebody who was more awake and didn't try to interfere with that, which was mechanical. But if that nervous system could be forced to tell the truth and you said, well, all right, you say you quit drinking. Are you aware of what kind of pressures made you want to drink? I can still feel it. You still think about it, yeah. The point is, nothing has changed in understanding in that so-called person. And yet on top of all of that, the world is filled with people who are constantly seeking out somebody to forgive them. Is everybody with me thus far? So whatever is taking place, it's some kind of real enough illusion that people go to such a service, such a witch doctor, and they say, I'm terrible, I'm frustrated, I feel like life is just a dunghill, I can't do good, I try to change my ways, and nothing happens. And the priest says, that is the nature of life. Of course, Christianity and everybody else, but Christianity has a story that God in some way offended man, and now we're paying for it all these thousands of years. That he just cursed man. Not enough to kill you, but just give you 60 years worth of misery. He lets you get born, and then you catch it for 60 years. But in his great plan, in his great, great plan of making man, making such a way that he could insult God, and then put the curse on him. Then turn back around and said, well, I'll get my partial way out. And that is what I'm referring tonight by the word of forgiveness. And there are people all over the world. And without any doubt, I'm sure some of you went through some version of this before you came here. Did experience something that they call a conversion. But it is a feeling that I'm trying to describe to you, and I'm still just working around at what I'm going to. I was asking you to try and catch this. They experience something that seems to be a form of renewal, some form of satisfaction they did not have. It does not, of course, satisfy the nervous system or they would be dead. But all I'm getting to is that claim that people have that say, I gave my heart to Jesus last week, and you should come with me and hear that minister. You should go back to church because I feel so much better. And right then, wrestling reality, forget how long it lasts, but right then, you can see that as far as they're concerned, there has been some new experience. I feel much better. I'm not angry. I just feel so much better. Praise the Lord. I have been forgiven. What is the nature of what seems to be taking place? And now to get to the dirty part, since everything is a reflection of something, what would be the nature of real forgiveness? And I'm presenting this to you tonight, not as a sermon, but how about as much as all of you collectively and as much as you individually at your own particular times, taste that you're not the same person, and that at right moments you can understand, you can see things that are beyond any comprehension, beyond any description, that you have moments of being absolutely free from everything that seems to be the toils and tribulations of being alive. But then on the other hand, you're in a fairly continual state of being upset. And one of the bases being that I should not be upset. If I'm as awake, or if I'm getting as much better as I thought I was, I think about the state I was in last September that hit me that week. And I could see things. And so much of what he said just made absolute sense, and I could just forget about it. I just thought it was true. Why is it here I sit now? Seem to be pulling at these knots again. The dirty part is there a reality of a man forgiving himself? And if you want to be more specifically, take this. That which, of course, is dissatisfied. That which is asleep. That which fits all terms of all religions, all pseudo-systems, all of man's imagination. That which is the lower creature, that which is the sinful part, is this. From here down, going up just as far as it can go in anybody's lifetime. Now, ordinary people say that they're looking for a connection to the gods to forgive them. And, of course, what they're looking for is to get up here. They're looking for a further completion of this system by knowing it. If there is any possibility of a man being able to forgive himself, if there is any reality behind this idea, this apparent experience ordinary people have of being forgiven, it would have to come from up here. It would have to come from what a man understands. But this thing is not made to be forgiven.
J.K. is referring to the area below the horizontal line of consciousness.
This is the creature. This is the puppet on the strings. This is the piece of machinery that everyone is born into. It's the cog. It's the position you were playing of transferring certain kinds of energy and ending up in other people. In this thing itself, which it cannot see beyond itself, the mind cannot invent a machine or a computer that in some way can match the mind, much less these dreams and so-called fears of building computers that will outstrip man's mental ability. It cannot be done. Nothing on any level can create something higher than itself. But this thing, there was one cracking, groaning piece. And this thing that apparently is a somebody that I tell you is not. This is the thing that's crying out. This is the thing that's crying out to you privately. I am no good. I'm just irritated. I'm never satisfied. I can't do right. I can't continue to remember all the things I should be remembering about this. I can't remember the name. It's awakened. I get all tied up with the expenses. I get tied up with imaginary complaints that somebody down at the dry cleaners from 2 weeks ago. God damn, this is crazy. But this thing that is crying out, you're trying to follow what I'm saying, instead of just referring to a more general term of this is the thing that's wanting to be a good Christian, this is the thing that's wanting to be enlightened, this is the thing that is wanting to be forgiven. But this cannot be forgiven. You cannot be forgiven for being what you are. And what this thing is a piece of unfinished business, but it's just like it should be. And for it to cry out to be forgiven is why that there is no such thing as changing life. There is no such thing as a real conversion. There is no such thing as somebody giving their heart to God and waking up. But there is this appearance. There is this continual hunger of people looking. Well, I'll go back. That's why churches continue to have revivals. And people say, well, I strayed from the path and I went back and admitted again. And they said, who's no good? And I raised my little hand. And he told me again, well, God will forgive you 4,449 times. And, you know, I'm lucky because this is only about the 12th time. But it will not work. It will not work in that the nature of this is to be unfinished, is to be dissatisfied, is to be in a continual struggle for that which cannot be achieved. And to forgive it would be the same thing as killing it again. To forgive it would be the same thing if there was a secret word or a secret verbal message that I put in my story about the sky god coming down in Cleveland on an appointed day and tell everyone the truth that would kill them. We're just trying to get you to see it from another direction. This thing that tells everybody in the world, that you are not properly behaving, you're perhaps not even properly structured. And this thing that is asking to be forgiven, if I cannot be awakened, or if I cannot be satisfied, I want to be forgiven for being in this terrible condition. Even if the kind of mental terms that one would use on oneself were not of a religious nature anymore. This thing that, well, I cannot continue to observe myself. I can't remember the kinds of things that I can see sometimes very clearly. I get back involved in life and I can't remember it. God damn me. That is the thing again, crying out, forgive me. And you can stay, even at the high end, which ultimately doesn't amount to much if you're never going further, but we could say that you're staying at a higher end than humanity in general. But if you stay there, you're ultimately in no better shape than those that were tempted to pursue, like the Sufi ideas of a man would be awake if he could remember the name of God with every breath. Sure he can, or he would, but he can't. This thing is incapable of it. Or to tell a man that if this thing would observe itself, if it would remember itself all the time, everything that you call problems and being dissatisfied would vanish. That's true. Because if you could do that, you would have had to have been above the line to be able to do that. Because this thing by itself cannot do it. This thing by itself in no way can be forgiven. It can only be seen. There is nothing to forgive. And if a man never gets any further than that, he can stay involved with, I could describe it from one viewpoint as being slightly higher than people out playing guru shopping or people that's been one of these would-be gurja for other type of groups. And their only claim to any great improvement is, I see more and more clearly every day that I'm a machine. And that's to say nothing. And for a man to continually be involved, no matter what terms you use, because everyone suffers from this. No matter your terms, what you're doing is attempting to forgive yourself. Or if you'd like another way, you continue to listen to the voice of this, which is nothing but electrical energy running through, that now, through your own learning process, puts together certain sounds, and so it sounds like static or music notes. It sounds like words. In certain areas of rain, it can almost conjure up even little pictures to go with it. But the thing is still crying out, forgive me. And everyone keeps trying to figure out, how can I do this? I need to change it. That's what I should be doing. But it still cries out, help me, forgive me. I've done my best, and it has. But its best is also its worst. It's doing exactly what it has to be doing. And there is no way to teach anybody to forgive themselves. I have surveyed this for many, many years. It cannot be done. And then look, consider where people look. To be forgiven, they have to find somebody. Since I've gone this far, I'm going to stop in a minute. I'll give you triple barrel justice. I didn't intend to make it too vague when I started out giving the premise of this. You do understand what I was talking about. That throughout the world, there are people called priests, ministers, gurus now, that in some way seem to be in charge. They always claim that they're in some way inspired by God, or they look like the horizontal line. That some other person that they identify was touched by God, and it's been an unending chain, and all this mystical energy in some way, the secret information been passed down, and now I'm here. But now notice the triple barrel part I was getting to. And throughout the world, it's nothing to laugh at because it's right in you. Somebody to forgive me. Somebody to tell me this is all right. Somebody to tell me that I'm not actually going to die. But ignoring that part, just to being here now, somebody tell me that I'm doing all right. Or somebody tell me that what I'm attempting to do, what I tell myself I want to do, is worthy. And the circumstances were just slightly different, I'm sure I could do better. And of course, the churches that is their job. But yes, that's true, we're all no good. God knows it. He sent down a piece of himself. Jesus said, everybody's no good. But he gave you the way out. All you've got to do is trust him, admit that you believe that he was God, or whatever their particular religion was, believe that such and such is true. And now stand up, sign your name, raise your hand, tell somebody that you are now a, quote, Christian, or an ex, or a Muslim. And when you do that, just like that, he forgives you. All right, now notice, although it's widespread throughout the world, it's everywhere. Notice this. We're talking about ordinary people now. It's never the person standing in front of them. It's never somebody alive. Of course, they go back now to take Jesus' story again, and they say that that's what he meant, and et cetera. But don't trust that kind of history. What I'm saying to you now, look around. Just from your own knowledge. You do not go into a church, a minister does not stand there and say, I forgive you. He will say, I'm a representative of God. God called me, or I graduated from a proper school. I have the right to tell you about this. This is my profession. I work for God. I mean, I know you people pay my salary, but I work for God, and I'm here telling you, it says right here in Matthew such and such, that say, I trust in God, and he will forgive you. Or I believe that Jesus was a representative of God, and all your sins are henceforth forgiven. Notice, it's never the man standing there that says, I forgive you. Notwithstanding that I'm not in doubt, there's some people right now somewhere on this planet that are saying that they're God reincarnated. But we're talking, then you're just talking about little quirks in the machine. I'm talking about that which affects the whole scheme of humanity. Says, I forgive you of all this. Now consider this. And it sounds like that we've gone now and talking about life again. But always remember it's also in here. There's only one way that that's possible, would be somebody who knows. That would have a different effect, not just by itself. Because it has to be people who want to know. And then it has to be somebody who knows and would say, here is what it is, and even though you may not understand, I'm in a hurry. And I forgive you, whether that was the term or not. Now, that would be one thing. But notice, that does not happen in life. It is always on the basis that you have been forgiven somewhere back down the line. That we must deal with somebody who is dead. We must deal with an occurrence that is now dead. We must deal with the words that were once said. But not right now. You know, you people don't come up here to the altar and kiss my hand because you feel better. I am simply a humble servant of God. The praise goes to Him. He's the one that gave you. And of course, that does not have what the verbal effect seems to be, is people still identify themselves. Not that they analyze it intellectually, but they will continue to go back to that particular church. They'll try and follow that minister around if he's on some kind of tour, or he's back in town, they want to see him because that feeling that they say they have had of this experience of feeling relieved, I felt better during his service when I raised my hand and gave my heart to God, and he said, all right, in that case, you're forgiven. And he's back in town, I'll go see him. Or if he has a church there, they continue to go back there. And it does not matter that the man says, now, whatever you feel or... don't attribute it to me, it's God. It says right here in the Bible. It all has to be in the past. It cannot be an existing situation right this minute. Everyone got me that far. Now cram it all in there. The living, talking reality of this, and that which it believes, and that which it wants to talk about to you. And I'm saying you now, and the possibility that all of you collectively can get somewhere on the top of that line, collectively. All of you now amount to a person, collectively. No matter how terrible you may be individually. Kind of conversation, kind of electrical energy that runs through here and passes up here to you as being thought. It's always looking for the kind of answer, the solution, if you will note, in Zork. Also, as always, in the past, I am not doing right this second. I do not feel good. I'm disturbed. And of course, now, in many cases, you try to go back and maybe think about something I have written or something I said one time that seemed to have some relationship to this or had some effect. And the mind always looks back. It doesn't matter whether it's going to look back now 2,500 years and try to recall the words of Jesus or look back 5,000 years and recall, well, now Buddha said. Or whether you try to think back, well, last week he was talking something about that and it seemed to have some significance at the time. What was it? Or even to yourself. Well, here I'm worrying about so-and-so again. And last week I realized, I kept thinking about this, it was worrying me, and I realized, well, this is irrational. I'm back to my old cross, the horizontal line of time. And I'm doing it in reverse for you people. Remember down here on the left end is the past, and this is what goes on. The thing is asking forgiveness. Some way out of this, how can we stop this insanity? How can I stop sitting here going over this same crap over and over? And it does this. Always. But it will never look there. It can't. You can't train it to. You can't make it. You can't force it. You can't trick it. If you're only living down here, it has no choice. It cannot do it any less than it can live without breathing. Whether it's looking back 2 minutes ago, 2,000 years ago, it's always.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks for topics of interest, or just leave us a message.